conclusion from that was that Babbage did not see the idea of general purpose symbolic calculation. The person did see it was Ada Lovelace. She writes that that the machine can manipulate letters of the alphabet, notes of music, and if you give it the rules of harmony, it can compose music. I believe she was probably, this was based on a misunderstanding, she thought the analytical engine could do algebra, true algebra, that is, could manipulate symbols and actually produce it in algebraic notation. I don't believe the engine could have, and I don't think Babbage believed it could have. But the point is, she did make the leap, because she's very, this is not a suggestion, this is not a sort of projection from our world into her world. She is banging the table and saying, this is what is important about this machine. It is unlike machines, it is different in kind from any other machine, in the way it can manipulate symbols according to rules. And so this actually is through Lovelace. Then you have general purpose computation from, and, what's that?
Do we have the program she had a right?
Well, she published in a paper in 1843 called Sketch of the Analytical Engine, in which there's the first published, it's called an algorithm, the first published sequence of, it's actually a state diagram, the first published sequence of operations the engine would perform to calculate the Bernoulli numbers. Yeah. So we have the first published. The example was Babbage's. It's been ascribed to Lovelace, but it's not the case. Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. I'm not aware of that. Okay, so my conclusion, having read everything Babbage ever wrote, is that he never saw the machine. And then recently I found this in his notebooks. He sits down in 1869. I think it's July 1869. Yep, in May 1869. He sits down and he's going to describe to the world. So he died in 1871. This is 2 and a bit years before he died. So this is as a result of 50 years of mature contemplation and reflection. And he sits down, he's going to describe to the world the general plan of the analytical engine. And he's going to tell the world how this engine works. And what he does, he says, the object of the engine is to execute by machinery, and the three examples he gives are arithmetical and mathematical, exclusively. So this is his maturest speculation. He never finished, it stops there. But the examples he gives, all the operations of arithmetic, all the operations of analysis, that's the most general form, and he isn't even talking about algebra there. And even if he was, he's still talking about algebra, not talking about general symbolic manipulation. Symbolic representation in the sense that Lovelace was talking about, and printing all the calculated results. And the context, and then he goes into gears. So the context is entirely mechanical, mathematical, and arithmetical. And that, to me, is the smoking gun quote, because if Babbage is writing like that at the end of his life, and Lovelace, in that's 1869, Babbage, and Lovelace in 1843 was talking about notes of music, letters of the alphabet, as the representational power of number, then I think that's fairly conclusive that it's to Lovelace that we need to actually ascribe that final step. So, we'll now finish with one slide. Where have we got to? We've got the idea of the mechanical process, we've got the idea of digital logic, we've got the idea of the algorithm, we've got systems architecture and formalism through the mechanical notations, that there is something to the design of the internal logical organization of a machine. Software and universality through Jacquard and the programmability. Internal stored program is not included, and I haven't even discussed that here because it's really quite an interesting idea about whether it's an issue of principle or whether it's an issue of practice. And so I deliberately included that to show that not everything in modern computing was incorporated there, but pretty well most of it was.
They have not the theorem.
Yes, I agree. Yes, I think that's so.
And they have have not demonstrated an equivalent theorem.
Yes, I think that's so.
The word universality.
Yes, it's an anachronism. It's an anachronism, yes. And I've said nothing about Babbage's influence on modern computing, which was very little. So I'll finish there, and you've been very patient. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Two hours.
Je vais devoir me sauver, merci beaucoup, mais je voudrais rappeler, I said in English, that Doran Swade wrote some articles in the Revue du Musée des Arts et Métiers about the Babbage project, I think it was in 1992,
yes.
At the time when we made with Pierre Mounier-Quin an exhibition about well, something like that, and also another article about the Science Museum and the
that's right,
of the
that's
museum,
right, yes, which, yes,
which,
yes.
It was 10 years afterwards.
Yes.
So in French.
It's yes.
This is in French.
Yes.
So of course it doesn't describe so precisely all the Babbage project and so on, but at least we have this information available for the whole team and in French for our colleagues and any of the apostles in the
department.
So
you said that Babbage thought that his work was a failure. Why did you say that?
Because for him, success would mean building an engine, and he didn't build an engine. That's a little one, 1/7. It's just a demonstration piece. It's a small piece, 1/7. You see you later. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Au revoir. Okay. It's 1/7. It's just a demonstration piece. It represents 2,000 parts. That piece I showed you is 2,000 parts. The big machine needed 25,000 parts. Half of these were already made. 12,000 parts were already made, and they were melted down. The complete design requires 25,000 physical parts, right? The little piece that I showed you with the handle on it is 2,000 parts. Of 25,000 parts that he needed, he had made 12,000, half. He had made half the number of parts, and because it was costing lots of money and it was taking a long time, he lost credibility. People stopped believing that he could do this. Mm-hmm. So he assembled that little piece to demonstrate it using just 2,000 parts.
Mm-hmm. I would have about 250 questions, but I will limit myself to say 1/10 of that.
That's 25.
First, detailed questions. You said that the word scientist in English was first used in the early 1830s?
The word scientist to describe a professional person involved in science, I believe, was coined by Whewell in Cambridge in 1832.
But what was used before? In French, we had the Journal des Savants in the 18th century. So
it would be a philosopher. A philosopher.
Well, like Babbage himself.
Yes, he called himself. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Another question is about vocabulary. You mentioned numerical analysis. Was it an expression
no.
at that time?
No, absolutely not. I think I said what we now call numerical analysis. He didn't. He said there was be a special branch of mathematics, but he didn't give it a name. But he describes what it would do. It would optimize the preparation of problems for machine calculation.
More generally, why weren't these numerical tables verified by prodigy calculators, as we call them, mental geniuses of calculation? Well, what's the English?
The savants. Yes, the prodigies. They call them savants. Savants. In England, they call them savants. They sometimes call them idiot savants.
Yes.
That's a very good question. Would it be possible if there was a prodigy of that kind to check a table, a book of tables like that?
Yes. Actually, the similar question was addressed by, I don't remember his name, someone who wrote a very good paper about Victorian computing in the values of precision, the volume values of precision directed by Pickering.
Yes, I know the volume.
His explanation was that, computing bureaus in astronomical observatories, for example, employed little qualified employees
to drudge on
calculating processes rather than calculator prodigies.
Yes.
Because calculator prodigies might have calculated prodigiously, but no one could control how.
Yes, so it wasn't accountable.
It was accountable.
Yeah.
But it would be different for checking tables.
Yes.
And have an example, which I just discovered at the CERN, at the Nuclear Research Center in Geneva. In 1958, when they acquired their first computer, Ferranti Mercury, they hired a prodigy calculator, a Belgian, to check the results of the electronic computer, who worked until 76. There is even a video on YouTube of him in 1976, when he retired, reenacting what he was doing 15 years earlier. So,
it's a very
role.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
So the question remains open.
Mm.
Then, two much larger questions. What does this story teach us about the problem of predecessors or precursors in the history of science and technology?
What does this particular episode?
Babbage, the precursor of modern computers. He's been invoked, he's been part of the mythology of computing.
Yes.
Would you consider him as a precursor? That is, as someone who paved the way, made things possible, which we are tempted to consider, but actually we just said that he had no influence. People quoted Babbage, people like Maurice Wilks or others, quoted Babbage after they had developed their own machine. And then they discovered Babbage and thought he was a nice ancestor.
Very, very interesting question. There is an article in Annals called the Trilogy of Errors in the History of Computing. And what that looks at is to what extent did the pioneers of the electronic age, to what extent they knew of Babbage, and how much of the content of his work did they know of. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion is that some pioneers had no knowledge of Babbage. They knew of him, they'd heard his name. Most of them knew his name and knew of the legend of what he attempted to do, but had no detailed knowledge of his designs. The one exception to that is Howard Aiken, who said, "Everything I know about computing I learned from Babbage." And I.B. Cohen has gone out of his way to show that Aiken was posturing, that he was trying to be recognized as Babbage's intellectual heir, and proves from the volume that he had of Babbage's passages that he could not have known. So the general view is that there is no direct line of influence between Babbage and modern computers, not as though his designs were known, and that was the DNA, if you like, of modern computing, the logic was transferred. But almost all the computer pioneers, almost without exception, had heard of him and knew of him and knew that he'd succeeded in doing it. There is no direct line of lineage between Babbage and modern computing at all. Although we must be careful not to think that everything stopped when Babbage died, because there were very extensive articles in Encyclopaedia Britannica right into the 1920s of Babbage's efforts to do this. Turing certainly knew of Ada Lovelace. He talks in 1950 about Lady Lovelace's objection, which is that the analytical engine cannot originate anything. So, you know, they were worried about, you couldn't say the machine was creative, because that would have religious implications. And he uses this as a counterpoint to argue for more liberal potential for the machines. If we look at, so that's sort of what the literature says about the pioneers knew of Babbage but didn't know the detail of it. Now, if we look at where you would need to go to get information about Babbage designs, they're basically three places. The general study of Lardner, encyclopedias, and the stuff that's out in the world. That's very little about the analytical engine. Lovelace's paper, 1843, Sketch of the Analytical Engine, which is the most detailed contemporary description of the engine. And finally, crucially, access to the archive of his drawings. Now, you would have to be in London and go to study those particular physical things. Now, those drawings, now there's nothing published on them until the late 1960s, when Alan Bromley starts coming from Australia every summer to study the drawings. So Babbage's drawings were only really studied in the late 1960s. Maurice Wilkes wrote his thing, Babbage is a Computer Pioneer, in 1971 for the bicentenary of Babbage's death. And that was, again, one of the that's the first modern evaluation of Babbage as a computer pioneer from someone like Wilkes. But that's probably the first time since Babbage's time those drawings have been studied in any detail at all. So if anyone had studied them, they would surely have either mentioned or published, and there is nothing. So the idea that Babbage's designs, the logic of those designs, had some influence on modern computing is not credible. They knew of him. The legend, the continuity is in the legend, but not in the lineage of the influence. Essentially rediscovered from Comrie. I mean, Zuse says he knew nothing of Babbage.
He knew nothing.
Yes.
But there was still an influence of the general idea of a programmable calculator.
Yes. Yes.
Which certainly Aiken got in the US.
Yes.
And which certainly was also integrated by continental inventors like Cuffignal.
Yes.
Who was very much. Through Dokkan, very much in touch with this general knowledge of the Babbage project, and also the Spaniard.
Torres de Quevedo and Ludgate in London. Yes, early 20th century, yes. There were two little isolated episodes. I think 1911 and 1909 or something. Those were sort of isolated episodes. Both of them said we knew. I think what happened was that after Babbage, nobody doubted that you could do it, but nobody knew how. And so they assumed it could be done. And Quevedo and Ludgate.
Somehow his role may be compared with that of Despascal, for example, just showing that it was possible.
Yes.
To make
yes. That to me is what is most credible about how you would frame his.
Torres Quevedo and Cuffignal are really in the mechanical programmable.
The programmable computing machine was the. Come from the repetition of the same operation. Oh. And because at this time, the mechanical machine was not programmable, but the programmation come from the paper where people wrote the operation, sequence of operation. I think few things come from Babbage, because if they have been influenced by Babbage, they will do better.
Well, Aiken didn't have conditional branching in the Harvard machine.
That the one operator on several stores.
You've heard enough.
Il a peut-être une question à poser. Il s'est sauvé là. Je sais pas si c'est. Ah okay. Oh, oui, deux heures. Bon, stop.